Act, session number 29568, Reel 3.
Good morning, Mr. Lindsay Gordon.
Good morning.
The last time that we met, we finished towards the end of your 18 months at Sandhurst, which I believe was towards August 1951.
August or September, probably, yes. Yes, that'd be right.
There was a few questions I wanted to ask you about Sandhurst, and one of them was about your passing out parade. Can you remember anything about your passing out parade?
As I said, we were the sovereign company that particular term, which meant that I suppose we probably led the parade. I really can't remember. But I carried the Sovereign's Company banner on it, and it was the usual procedure where the adjutant had to ride up the steps of New College on his, on Old College rather, on his horse, which always gave a certain amount of amusement in the hope that he'd fall off, but he didn't. I can't even remember who came down to inspect the parade or anything, but I just remember, as far as we're concerned, a perfectly routine parade. We were often doing that sort of thing. And that was it.
And do you remember if there were many people there? Was it quite a grand occasion?
Yes, I think a certain amount of visitors came down. As I say, I can't remember who took the parade. Certainly the Queen didn't come, or the King rather, or anybody like that. But somebody, probably a general or someone, came to take. I simply can't remember who took it. It would be easy to look up, I have no doubt.
And do you remember as well if the Sovereign's Company, if that was a special honour or something?
Yes, it was. It was competed for among the 12. Companies at Sandhurst, and I can't remember what we had to do, but anyway, we obviously came out top on that, and that was it.
Do you remember if you got any special privileges because you?
No, there were certainly no privileges. I think we may have. I honestly can't remember. Apart from carrying the banner at the parade, which then had to be dipped in front of. Whomever was taking it. Yes, I think it did, even if it wasn't royalty. Perhaps it only got dipped to royalty. I simply can't remember. I don't think it got dipped. No, I think one simply let it fly or something. I honestly can't remember.
Okay. And do you remember if your parents went to the passing out parade?
Sorry,
Do you remember if your parents went to see you at the passing out parade?
The parents?
Your parents?
No, nobody came down, no.
Were there any celebrations with the other men of your company, you know, at passing out?
Well, I think as soon as it was over, everybody went, I would say, got drunk. They certainly went out and celebrated the fact that it was all over. I suppose we probably all had a party of some sort or another that night, and I suppose the next day we went home. I imagine it all. I can't remember whether we went home immediately or what happened. But certainly there was a fair amount of celebration. Everybody's very pleased it's all over.
And do you remember of everyone who started in your company? Do you remember if they actually passed out or did MD fall by the wayside?
I don't think anybody fainted, as far as I remember. Usually it only happened if people had a thick night before, something like that, or if it was very hot. I don't remember. Certainly occasionally somebody fell over, but I don't think particularly on that occasion, not that I can remember anyway.
I was really meaning, did everyone who started in the company, you know, after 18 months in Sandhurst, did they all finally finish?
Everybody passed out. I don't think anybody, but certainly nobody was sacked in our company. And it depended on how well you passed out, whether you got your regiment or whether you didn't, and those that passed out very poorly tended to go into the RAOC or the, one of the larger organisations, where it didn't matter so much.
And I remember you saying the last time that you had provisional acceptance for the Gordon Highlanders.
Yes.
Do you remember if you actually knew by your passing out parade if you'd been accepted?
No, I think probably one was informed. afterwards. I don't think they said if you pass that in the first 100, say, you'll get it or whatever. I can't remember. It must have been approved later. I also can't remember how much later.
Okay. And do you remember getting your officer's uniform for Gordon Highlanders?
Yes, I don't. We were fitted out by a firm called Anderson in Edinburgh, which I suppose everybody was sent there. So I imagine I must have gone there to be measured for a kilt and a battle dress and that sort of stuff. I don't remember any part of that, but I imagine that must have happened. Then at some point after that, I reported to the depot where Willie Graham, the colonel of the regiment, happened to be there, and he immediately said, "Your kilt's either too long or too short." I can't remember which. And I ended up kneeling on the ground while he was measuring it with one hand and telephoning Anderson's with the other to raise hell about it. And I can't remember whether I had to snip a bit off or take it up or what happened. Anyway, that all passed off eventually. And that was it.
And do you remember if you had to get many items for your officer's uniform, or was it just one or two items that you had to get?
Well, one had to have a battle dress, kilt, and stockings and shoes, and a sporran and all that sort of stuff. And I suppose that I can't remember whether I had to get two still. I really can't remember. And whether we got patrols for wearing in the evening at that particular time, I would think probably not. I have no recollection of wearing them until very much later. I think it's probably just the routine battle dress. I think one probably had a best blouse and a not-so-good blouse for everyday wear. And that's about it, I think.
And do you remember how you felt when Colonel Graham was actually checking out your...
I think I was probably terrified. I was very junior and he was very senior, and I think I got rather glad to get the hell out of it.
That's what I was thinking. Now, I saw from your questionnaire that you actually went on some other courses after Sandhurst, but do you think you'd actually reported to the depot first, or do you think you did these courses?
I think I must have reported to the depot first. Because I certainly had a kilt to go on the course. And so I think I must have reported there probably shortly after leaving Sandhurst. But again, I've no recollection of that. And I think a chap called Claude Chancellor, who later became the adjutant in Malaya, I think he was at the depot then. And I remember very little else.
And was the depot in Aberdeen, or was up at Fort...
Depot in Aberdeen, yeah.
And
Fort George was only does the holding battalion for the training, initial training.
And whereabouts in Aberdeen was it?
At Bridgerton, where it is now.
And do you remember, with this time, going to the Bridge of Don Barracks, or the Gordon's Depot, did you get better accommodation than you had done in Fort George?
Yes, I think I did spend a night or two there, possibly longer. I can't remember what else one did, but yes, I think one certainly was given a room there. Yes.
And so, do you think that you then went to the small arms course?
Now, I think the next thing was Warminster, the platoon commander's course at Warminster, first, which I think took place that winter, and then I think to Hythe probably at the very beginning of the following year.
Okay, and the platoon commander's course, was that in another army barracks, or was it?
Yes, it's a huge army set up at Warminster. It's on the edge of Salisbury Plain, which of course is one of the big training areas. And which is honeycombed with slit trenches and things, people have been digging.
And what exactly did you do there, you know?
Well, we went, I think it was sort of wartime tactics. I remember we spent the odd night out in trenches. We had to dig trenches and all that sort of stuff. I think otherwise it's probably almost a repeat of what we did at Sandhurst. But I can't remember what we did, because I went back there again later to do an anti-tank course. They were endlessly doing courses and things. I think it lasted about 6 weeks, as far as I remember. And I think Hyde was about a month. Again, that's just from memory.
And were both of these places army colleges, or were they like a regiment?
No, they were pure army. I mean, nothing to do with regiments at all. Everybody was there, all regiments. They're very much just a pure army establishment. They both were.
Okay, and then did you come back to the Gordons in Aberdeen?
Yes, I did. I think I had to come up and collect a draft to take out to Malaya, because I knew we were going out there, and I'm sure I came to Aberdeen to collect this draft of national servicemen. We went down by train to London, all of us, and spent the night in a thing called the Good Street Deep Shelter, whether that exists anymore. I can't remember much about it, except you went down about 1,000 stairs to down into the bowels of the earth, and it was there's accommodation there, and I think we spent, I can't remember, one night there or something like that.
And were you in charge of this draft of men?
Yes, yes, yes.
And how many men approximately?
30, I suppose. Probably about 30, I would think. There was a corporal, I remember he was a South African, who was a bit older than the others. But he had no experience. He just had been given some stripes because he was a bit older. I suppose we were about 30 probably, yes.
And how did you feel about this? You know, because this would have been like the first group of men.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're extremely ill-disciplined rebel. but anyway, we got by, and we must have taken a train, I suppose, to Southampton to capture a ship eventually.
And had these men been through their basic training?
Yes, they all had. They'd all finished. I imagine they'd all been to Fort George, probably, and then sent to Aberdeen. Those at the Gordons, as opposed to any other Highland regiment.
And did you have any special privileges, either on the train or at this Good Street Deep Shelter?
I can't remember anything about the shelter. I just remember the name and disappearing to the bowels of the earth. What happened there? No idea. I imagine everybody got fed there, probably. And they must have done, I think. I think it's some kind of collecting point.
And on the train, did you get a better seat, you know, like in first class or anything?
Faintest recollection at all. Probably, yes, except I probably did, yes.
Okay. And you then went to Southampton, wasn't
it? I think it was, yes, we sailed from Southampton, yes.
Do you remember the ship's name?
Yes, she called the Dilwara, D-I-L-W-A-R-A. She nicknamed the Dil Roller, because you were supposed to roll a bit in when it was rough. But she was one of these converted small passenger liners, I think. I'm not sure if it wasn't a German ship. Anyway, that was it. She was on that run for years and years, to and fro.
Okay. Now, this would have been in 1952.
This is early 52. The King had just died, and we were all wearing crepe armbands. Early 52, January, I think it was. So Hythe must have been at the end of the year. I'm sorry, I don't think it probably was at the beginning of it. I'm sure we sailed in January.
And was there anything else that you had to do, you know, as a mark of respect to the King dying?
No. We just issued with black armbands, which we wore on our shirt cuffs.
And do you remember if you'd been issued any special kit for going to Malaya?
Good question. Well, there must have been. Absolutely, we must have been given jungle greens. A good question. We must indeed have been. I have no idea where it came from. I suppose we must have been issued with it. And I don't think we had. I don't think an officer had to buy jungle greens. I think they were all issued.
Okay. Now, on board the ship, will you describe to us, please, the accommodation you had?
Yes, I mean all the jocks were down sort of down in the hold, and we had cabins. I'm trying to think who I shared with. I was shared with somebody, I think, going out. I can't remember. I simply can't remember who I shared with. No, I mean it was a very pleasant life, really. One had obviously to. I think whether we drilled or certainly, I mean, one was responsible for the sailors, and I think under certainly went down to inspect them every day, and possibly whether we drilled them or something, or they certainly had PT and those sort of things.
And do you remember if you had a lot of spare time on the ship, or were you normally quite occupied?
I think one was kept fairly busy. You might say doing what? Well, an ordinary sailor's routine to a large extent. I really can't remember what the hell we did do. I remember my second voyage much clearer than the first, I think.
And during the first voyage, you know, leaving so early in the year, do you remember any rough seas?
No, it was amazing. It wasn't rough at all the whole way. Absolutely amazing. The biscuits, three times I went through a bit of biscuits like a mill pond. And I was very lucky.
And how long did the journey take?
38 days.
And do you remember the route that they took? You know,
Did we put in at Gibraltar? Yes, Gibraltar, Aden, Colombo, and then Singapore.
And were you allowed off the ship at any point?
Yes, we were not allowed off in the Suez Canal. I think we had some problem with the gypos. And actually, because my sailors looked the smartest, they had kilts, we detailed to line the sides with rifles, and so in case the ship started doing something rather, I mean, it all passed off perfectly peacefully. But I think all the way through the canal, we were on duty, as it were. So we certainly couldn't get off there. I don't think I bothered to go. Certainly, I got off at Colombo, and I think probably at Aden too, just to have a snip around and see what the place was like.
Do you remember any of the places, you know, any of these two places that you stopped at?
No, because I've been back to Singapore several times, and I haven't been back to Aden or Colombo, but I've been to Gibraltar since. No, I think it's quite a short time. I might have been a shorter 3 or 4 hours or something, but that'd be all. But whether the jocks are allowed off, I simply can't remember. Probably.
And was this the first time that you had been to places like this?
Yes, it was.
And do you remember your initial feelings about, you know, coming into Aden or...?
Well, all the sort of dhows and things in Aden. Now, it's all very picturesque, and Colombo and everything too. All very picturesque, and I quite enjoyed it.
And you mentioned the men in their kilts, you know, lining up with their rifles and things. So they did have like their good uniform, their kilt uniform with them as well.
Yes, they would all have been issued with kilts and blouses and everything, and they would have had a set of denims for ordinary working, but they were made to put their kilts on to look nice for going through the canal.
And whilst on board as well, I know that you spoke about you were still doing some drill and things with the men. Was there ever any lectures or anything, you know, to inform
yes,
them?
Yes, I think probably there were probably lectures too. I think there probably were. I'm awfully hazy about that first voyage. I remember the second one much better. I don't know why. I suppose because one's sort of getting used to it by then.
Do you remember as well, you know, when you were at sea, Did you still have to wear, like, your uniform, but, you know, your more casual one, or could you wear civilian clothes?
No, absolutely not civilian clothes, no.
Okay. And on the ship as well, was it a totally troop ship, or were there passengers?
No, there was the old passenger, but I think connected with the army. I think they were either going out as school teachers or something connected with the army, but there were very few on the whole. It was just the just the soldiers.
And was there other regiments, or was it purely Gordons?
No, there would have been a whole lot of other soldiers. I have no idea who they were. No. I don't know what the capacity of troopship was, how many it held. I'm guessing 500. I mean, it's a pure guess. It might have been 200, might have been 5,000. I simply can't. I would guess it was about 500.
And do you remember the food on board? Do you remember any of that side of it?
Not particularly. I think it was probably perfectly adequate. I've never been very fussy. I've always eaten anything. It really hadn't worried me. No, I think it's probably fine.
And was the regiment already out there?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
So you were...
It had gone out, I think, in 1951, the year before, I think.
So you were just really taking these 30 men across?
Exactly.
So when you arrived in Singapore, do you remember your initial impressions of Singapore?
Yes, the smell was the main thing. The sort of row of go-downs, the warehouses and things along the front, and the smell of the place.
What did it smell of?
Just sort of rotting. No, I mean, just sort of. I don't know, it just smelt of excrement. I mean, everything. So just sort of rotting everything. I think all that's very much changed now. But in the old days, it used to strike one.
And as you say, Singapore's changed now, and it's quite a cosmopolitan and quite a modern place.
Yes.
Was it like that then?
No. Yeah, I mean, they've torn down the whole of Chinatown now, about for half a street, which they kept for sentimental purposes. It was purely a sort of, as far as I remember, a sort of rambling, mainly Chinese place. And I mean, full of exotic smells and sights and everything else.
And were you quite excited about being out there? You know, Was it seen as quite a nice posting to go to this side of the world?
No, I don't think it was particularly nice posting. It's probably a bit better than Korea, but I don't think it's regarded as especially nice posting. No, I don't think anybody really thought they'd enjoy themselves in the jungle much.
I was meaning more Singapore, you know.
Well, we didn't linger there. We just simply got in a train and set off. Probably the same day we arrived. I really can't remember.
Do you remember anything about the train?
I remember it took, I think, 33 and a half hours to do 330 miles, because it used to be shot up twice a week or so in those days, and therefore it ran fairly spasmodically and slowly. I remember the fireflies that in the dark and in the jungle, so all the lights of the fireflies, and we were up in Perak State, which is up, as I say, about 300 miles from Singapore. The place called Tapah, T-A-P-A-H.
Okay.
And we arrived there, as far as I remember, in the middle of the night, and were met by the adjutant and people in the sort of armour 3 tunnels and stuff. It all looked very warlike.
And had this been the very first time that you had really been with the regiment, you know, that...
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
So this was like your initial meeting of the regiment?
Very much so.
And on this train that took 33 and a half hours as well, was it a troop train or was it...
No, it's a perfectly ordinary train. Whether there were any civilians on it, I suspect not. I suspect the army probably requisitioned it or something. But I think it had the sort of normal driver, and I remember there was a Malay or Chinese guard on it, so I think it's very much an ordinary train.
Was it quite comfortable or...?
I can't remember, I expect so. I remember, I don't think I slept much, but I wanted to make sure we didn't overshoot our station. And the guards said, "Don't worry, I'll warn you," but just in case he didn't, and didn't want to overshoot.
And once you arrived, is it Perak State?
Yes, P-E-R-A-K, yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Perak.
Once you arrived there, do you remember if you had to wait long for the three tanners coming, you know, the people with the three tanners, or were they already there for you?
So I waited for people to meet us. Uh-huh. No, they were already there.
Uh-huh. And, you know, you said it was the middle of the night.
Well, I think it was, yes. Mm-hmm. It was certainly at night time, mm-hmm. I think. Yes, I'm sure it was.
Mm-hmm. And was it a town or something?
Yes, there's a town called Tapa, T-A-P-A-H, where, in which the battalion had, somebody built a camp. I suspect it was there long before the battalion arrived. It was somewhere, I can't remember, not very far from that town. It was only a small town.
And do you remember your initial impressions of this town? You know, do you remember?
I remember nothing whatever about the town, no, absolutely nothing. I remember the camp vaguely. Because we went to more than one camp before I was throughout my service. I actually remember the second one much better. It was quite a mountainous area, and I think a fair amount of terrorist activity there. We had two platoon detachment, as far as I remember, in detached one out on the east coast and one somewhere else. And of course, a lot of rubber plantations.
And the actual first camp that you went to, you said that you could vaguely remember some things about it. Will you describe it to us, please?
It had a wire around it, and obviously guardhouse and things, and I don't know why it's gone very largely out of my mind. I mean, we slept in wooden huts with what they called atap roofing, i.e. flat thatched and leaves and things. Oh no, it probably had corrugated down, I can't remember, probably corrugated down with fairly primitive showers, just cold water, I mean that doesn't matter in that temperature. And I remember very little about the camp. It's a year or two ago.
And were you able then to hand over these 30 men, or were they still...
No. Because the platoon to which I was allotted was already there. No, I think I just handed them over, and they were relocated somewhere within the battalion. But there was already... I went to two platoon in A Company, as far as I remember, and... it was already in my platoon corporal was got his name you mentioned just now was Bob Strachan.
Do you remember anyone else you had in your platoon?
Well, there was Sergeant Donald, that was the platoon sergeant. I don't know what happened to him. And I'm trying to think who my company commander was then. Awful, I can't remember.
Don't worry. And the structure of your company, is it the company commander who's in charge of the company?
Battalion has four companies normally. It actually has six, but it has A, B, C and D companies, and each company has three platoons. And that's right. And so I was one of the 12 platoons within those companies. And a platoon is about 30 men, or supposedly, you know, with full, if it was up to strength. And it had a sergeant and a corporal, and possibly a lance corporal, but a sergeant and a corporal, and a junior officer.
And we were speaking about you, your arrival in Malaya with the regiment. And
Not with the regiment, to the regiment.
Oh, to the regiment, sorry. To the regiment. And this was really your first meeting... with them,
yes.
In any large scale apart from the depot in Aberdeen.
Yep.
And we've just started to speak about Malaya, and I was wondering if you got on the jungle warfare course that I know many of the other men
were
on.
Yes, I didn't go on the it's Johor Bahru in the south of Malaya, just the other side of the island, the bottom opposite Singapore Island. I never went on that.